It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
It's East versus West on the geopolitical de-escalation front today, and energy supplies are front and center. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. With tens of thousands of troops stationed along Ukraine's border with Russia, efforts to prevent any new conflict in the Eastern European nation are intensifying today. French President Emmanuel Macron is heading east to Moscow, where he'll hold talks in a few hours with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, Germany's new chancellor, Olaf Scholz, is going west to the U.S., where he'll meet with President Biden. With its allies, America has threatened extensive economic sanctions against Russia should it invade Ukraine, which it says it has denied planning to do. Those sanctions could include a number of financial restrictions, as well as blocking regulatory approval of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. That's a massive project that would double natural gas supplies from Russia to Germany. Dr. Jack Sharples, a research fellow at the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies, explains where nations could turn if Russian gas supplies are restricted.
This is the hard economic fact. Natural gas is very important to the European energy mix. We use it for electricity generation, we use it for heating homes and schools and businesses, and we use it in heavy industry where we need high temperature process heat. And Europe is very dependent on imports to meet that supply of natural gas. Europe as a whole, that is the EU plus the UK, imports around 85% of the gas that it consumes. And if you look at who provides that, Russia is by far the largest external supplier of gas. So of all the gas that we consume in a given year, Russia probably provides about a third of that, which simply cannot be replaced at short notice. President Biden is trying to play quite a coordinating role, if you like, going and talking to LNG exporters around the world. First of all, he went and spoke to the Qataris, the world's largest exporter of liquefied natural gas, and basically saying, look, you know, if you've got any spare volumes, should the worst happen, please, please, please send them to Europe. The Qataris came back and said, look, we'll do what we can, but we can't on our own replace what Europe might lose if the gas supply from Russia is cut off. So then they've started going and talking to the countries that are some of the largest buyers of liquefied natural gas. And again, the Japanese have come back and said, look, we'll do what we can. But if we need the gas, we need the gas. You know, Japan is very resource poor, heavily, heavily dependent on imports. So it's going to be really weather dependent.
So do you think President Biden will be successful in convincing Germany to back America's view on this Nord Stream 2 pipeline issue?
I think they're already most of the way there. I think that when you've got the German foreign minister saying that Nord Stream 2 will be on the table when it comes to sanctions on Russia, should they invade Ukraine, then I think that that's pretty much, you know, mission accomplished, really, for the Biden administration.
Dr. Jack Sharples, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Well, ahead of those meetings of world leaders today, global stocks are little changed as we check the numbers now. European and Asian stock markets are mixed. In Tokyo, shares of embattled Japanese technology giant Toshiba rose 1.2%. That's after the company announced plans to split itself into two separate firms, one focused on infrastructure, the other on devices. The COVID-19 vaccine created by Oxford University and AstraZeneca was said to be designed for the world, and it was one key to helping economies recover from the pandemic. Unlike its Pfizer and Moderna peers, this one does not require ultra-cold storage, which makes it easier to transport. Though it was the first to be widely produced, it did struggle for European Union acceptance as doubts emerged about the vaccine's efficacy in older adults. The BBC's Fergus Walsh says now leading figures behind the vaccine are accusing politicians of damaging its reputation.
It ran into repeated difficulties in the European Union, where several member states followed Germany's lead in not initially offering it to older adults. France's President Macron wrongly stated it was quasi-ineffective in the elderly. Those decisions were eventually reversed, but Sir John Bell of Oxford University is scathing.
Bad behaviour from both scientists and from politicians will have killed probably hundreds of thousands of people.
More than 10 billion COVID vaccines have been administered globally, but only 1 in 20 people in low-income countries are double-jabbed. Sir Andrew Pollard, who led the Oxford trials, says if vaccines had been shared equally, then the vast majority of deaths in the second half of last year could have been prevented.
Well, as the BBC's Fergus Walsh explained there, by now several vaccines have been administered to millions of people. Some, though, are still resistant to getting the vaccine, and a portion of those oppose any legal requirements to get vaccinated, including thousands of people in the Canadian capital. Protests there started 10 days ago when truckers began speaking out against COVID-19 vaccine mandates. The so-called Freedom Convoy has brought the city center to a standstill, leading the mayor to declare a state of emergency and call for more support. The BBC's Aruna Iyanga has more on that story.
Honking horns in a blockade of streets around Parliament Hill in the capital, Ottawa. The protests, dubbed the Freedom Convoy, began over a week ago. Its aim, to reverse the government's vaccine requirement for cross-border truckers. But it's turned into a rallying point against all COVID measures and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government.
I'm here to denounce that the unvaccinated for 2 years have been shamed and thrown under the bus on the public's place. It goes against freedom of speech in Canada.
The city's mayor, Jim Watson, said the city was completely out of control.
You have thousands of protesters versus hundreds of police officers. We're outnumbered, and we need to ensure that the order is brought back to our city. And just to add salt to the wound, they bring in hot tubs and bouncy castles, showing complete insensitivity to the people who are suffering greatly, seniors who can't get out to get their groceries, people with young children who can't get to sleep because fireworks are going off in the middle of a residential neighbourhood.
Protests here might be loud, but Canadians are broadly supportive of vaccine mandates. Nearly 83% of Canadians are fully vaccinated. The Prime Minister has said the convoy represents a small fringe minority. It's not clear yet what emergency measures will be brought in. Police say they're concerned the convoy has attracted far-right and extremist elements. The fundraising site GoFundMe said on Friday it would withhold millions of dollars raised for the truckers, citing police reports of violence. There's also criticism that support has come from outside Canada. On Friday, former US President Donald Trump gave his backing. Meanwhile, the protesters have dug in. The convoy is organised, well-funded and committed. They've promised to protest peacefully and respect the law, but also to stay for as long as it takes.
That's the BBC's Aruna Iyanga reporting there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.